You are listening to a recording from the Stories of Change project, funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council under its Connected Communities programme. This recording comes from research undertaken with communities in the valleys of South Wales. This particular contribution comes from the community of Ynys y Bwl from work undertaken in the summer of 2015.
Where were you born?
I was born in Graig, Treharris.
And when was that?
August 1937.
So, could you tell us a little bit about your house when you were growing up in the Graig in Treharris?
Well, we lived in a terraced house, no back entrance. So when my father had coal, we had to carry it right through the passage, through the sitting room, through the little kitchen and down the steps. And we used to use a tin bath, one each side, and they'd shove all the lamps on and you'd walk through. And my mother would be there, she'd have special mats, she'd keep them rolled up and she'd put them down over her good ones. And that was it, no bathroom. The outside toilet and the sink was by the side of the, in the kitchen, one room we had, well, front room and a kitchen, and that was in the kitchen by the side of the fireplace. And we used to have to polish the brasso, the tap, because everything was brassoed in those days. And I can remember we had electric light, but there was only, we also had a gas lamp in the in the living room as a fallback. And we were always having a row because when we did something, we'd break the mantle. And there was always an argument, always having a row for that, there was. There was one light upstairs and that the only one was on the landing, but eventually they put the electric everywhere. But I was 23 when I got married, but we never had a bathroom the whole time that I was living home. Not an actual bathroom to turn the tap on. My mother had one many years later and stuck it in one of the bedrooms because we had gone and she had a spare room. What else can I tell you? We were all, as children, we played outside on the road because there were no cars. Very little. You'd play cricket, you'd play marbles, you'd play everything. And we had a gas lamp on the corner of the street. You know, and it had a bar going across up. We used to put a rope on that and swing around. And that was the sort of thing you did to play. And then I went to school in Quaker's Yard, Woodland School, they called it. And then I went to Merthyr to school then, to Pentrebach, to the technical school where I learned shorthand, typing, secretarial skills. Then when I left school at 15 and went to work in Cardiff, and I know I can remember I used to pay 8 and 6 pence a week on the bus, weekly ticket, 6 days a week. And then I went to work then in, believe it or not, Littlewood's Pools. That was right down the bottom of St Mary Street in the Prince of Wales, the old theatre. And I think I stuck it about 6 weeks. That was it. Then I did have a job then, secretarial work. I worked in the Merthyr Express in Merthyr. Took all the advertisements, etc., answered the phone and did all that. And then I was lucky enough to have a job in Hoover's. And Hoover's was the place to work with, you know, good salary and everything else. And then I went abroad on holidays for the first time in 1959, where I went to Ostend in Belgium, and there I met my husband. And the following year I was married and living in Ynys y Bwl.
So, you mentioned that you would get a call in. So yeah. Everything in your first house, when you were youngster,
everything had to come coal through the front door.
Right. And that was the only heating in the house, the coal fire?
Oh yes, there was... We didn't have a blackleg grate. We had, it was like an enamel then, you know, but it had the the grate and the oven and the hob on the top. And eventually over the years, then obviously they take those out and they put central heating in a park ray. But we didn't have a lot of facilities, no indoor toilet all the time I lived there, and no bathroom. Because I can remember the day before I got married, an aunt of mine said, you can come up and have a bath, and I could use a bathroom. I'd never, because that was it, you know, and I really spoiled when I. But, well, that's it, and I used to like any sport, that's me. I loved, when I worked in Hoover's, I started playing badminton, and I played tennis, and I played for the factory, and then I went to Scotland on a, we used to have an, every year they had two athletic trips, they used to have teams, and I went all the way to Glasgow to one of these meetings, and I can remember we caught the train from Cardiff at 5:30, and we all got on the train, and about 3 o'clock in the morning we were on Crewe station, stuck, we couldn't go any further, and that's all you could hear was cattle mooing, and then we went off again then, and we arrived in Glasgow about 8 o'clock in the morning, but it took from 5:30 till 8 o'clock in the morning to get to Glasgow by train.
So how would you get to Hoover's when you worked there?
Well, it was a bus at the, I lived off the main road, and there was a bus Cardiff to Merthyr. So that I was on the main bus route then to come home. But if ever I went anywhere, because I lived in this little village, which is about 1.5 miles from Treharris, if I went, those days, we'd go to a long dance, finished about 1 o'clock, and you'd always have buses to bring you home. But they always only brought me to Treharris, and I always had to walk home, that 1.5 miles.
Was that lit? At all?
Well, there wasn't, there was gas lamps, there were a certain amount, but not like it is today, obviously, but there wasn't the fear of being alone those days that there is now. I never worried about it. Sometimes I had company, sometimes I didn't. But you never had that fear of don't go outside the front door. Did you? You know, it was, and that was my thing. I used to love dancing, and I was dancing nearly every night of the week. I spent half my life in Aberconnan in the Emp Ballroom, and cinemas there. There was two cinemas also. My mother used to always say, why don't you take your bed to Aberconnan and stay there? Because I was never in, there was nothing in our village, nothing to do. But, all it was dancing, pay about a shilling to go in or something, you know. But when I worked in, when I went to work first in Cardiff in Littlewoods, I used to work, I had to work on a Saturday because of the football pools. And I used to catch a bus back, and I would be finishing at 6, but I wouldn't be sort of home till 7. So what I used to do was I would get off in Aberconnan. My friends would meet me, they'd bring me some clothes to change and sandwiches for my tea, and I'd go straight to the dance. I never went home on a, not on a Saturday, I used to go straight out, because otherwise, by the time I got home and I went back, it would be all over. But that was what I liked, and sport I liked. Swimming, yes. I can remember once, I don't know how old I was, I couldn't have been very old, when I said to my mother I wanted threepence, and that was for to go to Edwardsville. There was a baths, outdoor baths up there, and it was 2 pence to go in, and I wanted a penny to go to the bakehouse to buy, there was a baker's and he'd make lovely bread rolls, just a bread roll, and I can remember saying I haven't got it, and that was on a Wednesday, and that's how the money was, wasn't it? You know, it was how they managed, I'll never know.
So you were, was your father a coal miner?
Yes, yeah. He worked in the Treharris, He worked, he always worked underground from the time he was 12 until he retired. And I can remember once he had an accident in work, and it wasn't like it is now, where off to hospital, somebody saw him and they sent him home. And I came home from school and he was lying in bed with a white pillow there, but his face wasn't clean, only a year. He had his cheek was cut like that. And he wanted a cigarette. He never smoked upstairs, but he was ill. And I can remember him smoking a cigarette and a bit of smoke coming out through his cheek. I'll always remember it. I could see it now. I was only little. I mean, he was all right after, but he had to have stitches. But I can always remember seeing that little wisp of smoke coming out of the side of his cheek.
And I take it you would have had no heating upstairs?
Or? Oh, no, there were grates in every room. But no heating upstairs, no, never. I can remember the windows in the winter, you could get up and write your name on the inside. And we used to have, if it was cold, we used to have the shelf out of the oven by the side of the fire wrapped in something and that put in the bed. Never any hot water bottles or anything. And what you had on there, the bedclothes would be about 18 inches high and you could hardly lift it to get in, but it's the only way you could stay warm. But yeah, there wasn't, as I said, I went to Edwardsville Quakers Yard School and then I left school at 15. I would like to have stayed, but my father was ill at the time and he had to have a big operation, and he went to the Hamadryad Hospital down the docks in Cardiff. It was a sailor's hospital, one of mariners. And they specialised in kidney things, and he had to have some of his kidney removed, because years before, the doctor had told him that he had appendicitis. Then they took his appendix out, but it wasn't that, it was this all the time. So he was very ill for a long time.
So did your mother work at all?
No, women didn't work, did they? I'm laughing now. My mother, she, of strange thing, but she was an only child, which there weren't many of those about in those days, and she was spoilt rotten. She was well educated. She went to grammar school and she had all the education, everything that she could have. But no, she never worked, because so I got two brothers and they're both older than me, and they both got married, courting, and they got married, and then I got married, and then my mother went to look for a job and she went to AB Metals in Abercynon, remember, down there, right? And she didn't tell him the truth about her age. She put it down a bit, and she put it down, say, to 54, and she was actually about 58 or 59, right? And because there was nobody home, my father had retired and she went to work, and she loved it. But and that was the first time she had an insurance card when she was in her 50s or wages ever. And but after being there about, she'd been there about 5-6 years, I would imagine, and there was some going on, like a checkup or something, and they found out her age, and she had to go.
So was she the person who sort of did the cooking and everything?
Oh, yes. She did it. They did everything. Your mother was there all day. You didn't do much. I used to have to do little jobs. Polish the brasses, bluestone the steps, scrub the toilets, because the toilet was wooden. Scrub it, and I used to have to do a little bit now and that, but my mother always told me I had two speeds, slow and stop, so as I said, I've got better over the years, I must say, but used to have to do little bits, but I was never forced to do anything, or, you know, she did But mainly it was hard for mothers in those days because no fridges, no freezers. So every day, whatever you had to eat, they had to get the stuff in and cook, didn't they? You know what I mean? There was nothing we can say, oh, have a look what's in the freezer. But they couldn't do that, could they? And I do remember when I was 11 and I passed my 11 plus and I could have gone to the grammar school. I did have a choice, or I could have gone to the technical school, as they called it. And my mother said, you better go to the technical, learn a trade. So I went there, and as I said, shorthand typing, bookkeeping and all the other stuff to go with that. And I can remember the day we had the results in school. It was in Treharris, and it was my mother's shopping day. And she used to shop in Thomas and Evans. And I went up, but everybody went home, and I can say that I passed, and I was so excited. And there was kids in school saying, my mother's going to buy me a bike if I pass, or I'm going to have this if I pass, and I'm going to have that if I pass. And I passed, and I can always remember I had a bag with 2 ounces of sherbet in it. And that was, you know, more than you normally had, like, in it. But that was all I had for it.
So tell us about that shopping day then. So your mother would only shop on the one...
No, no, she used to shop, but those days, they used to, what they call, put it on the book. She'd shop all the week, and then once a week you'd clear your bill. But you most people, cooperative it was in those days, but she went to Thomas and Evans, so whatever she wanted, she'd get it and then pay then and clear the bill, and that's how they used to call dribbing. They're going to, can I drib that? And then they'd pay, and then the people in the shops knew who they could trust and who they couldn't trust. But I do remember sawdust on the floor, believe it or not. I do, a little bit of, I can remember the managers and all. But yeah, that's where she shopped. And
so how would you store your food in the house then? You said no fridge.
Well, we used to have a little, you'd have, well, it's not like a little pantry then, just attached to the house, like, and it had everybody, they all had the old houses, they all had the stone, as they called it. And then it was cool in there and on the stone, and you'd keep your milk in a bucket if it was in the summer, wouldn't it? You know, you'd put the milk in the bucket to keep it warm, keep it cool, and anything you wanted, and always a net over your meats and things, a little wooden safe, little wooden thing like that there, only it had a mesh over the front, you put stuff in there. But, well, no, you couldn't, could you? Remember the milkman coming in the street with horse and cart and go out with your jug, and he'd go in the churn and fill it. And when I was a kid, Mr. Sloggett, I'll always remember him.
And then the cooking, that was all on the fire?
It was on the fire. And then my father decided to extend this little, you know, which was... Where that toilet is there, that was the kitchen. And then he extended across, and we had a back door in our sitting room, in our living room. So we extended across, quite narrow it was, and then it covered the steps that went out, so that door was blocked up, which made it much warmer. And then there was a gas cooker put in there, but it was very narrow. She could put a washing machine this side. I bought a washing machine when I went to Hoover's because I could have it cheaper, and that was her first washing machine that she ever had, and I was about 20 when I bought it. So she had a washing machine and a spin dryer.
What about the sort of electrical thing? Do you ever tell, you went dancing, you said, you went to the cinema. Did you have a television in the house or really?
I was 15 when we had a telly. And then you had to go down the back and somebody had to hold the aerial or they wouldn't get a picture. used to say, that's right, they'd be shouting, and then you'd let it go, and they'd say, it's gone again, go back. And you needed somebody there, you know, with these H things they were. Yeah, that was when we had telly. I was about 15, that was when we had that. But when we had this little kitchenette built, which was, I said, was a lot like a little galley kitchen then, it wasn't very big. And then by then we had gone on to a bungalow bath, which is the long, narrow one, you know? And you'd go in there and have a bath as you got older. But the problem was that the tap was this side and you were this side. So you had to be sure the water, because you had to step in the bath to go to the water or go that side. It was, but as I said, it was the only privacy that you had really was to get in the bath that way, like.
And would you have had hot water?
My mother used to have a boiler years ago. Everybody had boilers, didn't they, for their clothes. Put the water in the boiler and turn the tap and then put cold water in it, like.
So tell us a little bit about when you then moved to Ynys Enfawr. What was the difference then?
Well, I lived in two rooms for a year. A front room and a bedroom with somebody, complete stranger. But as I said, we were fine, we got on well, and but there was no bathroom there, so I used to have to go down my mother-in-law's and have a bath, down which she lived on Robert Street. But then we bought a house then a year later, and there was a bathroom in it. So as far as that goes, the bathroom was fine. But we didn't have central heating until I was living there about 6-7 years, and then we had central heating because the coal board would put it in and you'd pay out your wages. They used to have a scheme going that everybody could afford it, and then we had a park ray.
Right, so this was coal?
This was a coal park ray, yes. And I had that then till about 18 years ago. My husband had passed away, and I had gas put in then. I'm in God's pocket, innit? Everything is. I only got to walk there and there, three steps, and I'm wherever I want to be. And it's lovely. It's lovely.
And when you say you changed the gas, just to go back to that bit a sec.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Did you just?
Well, because my husband used to, or if the kids were there, they would get coal because we had some steps in the back. But for me, it was I was on my own, and I thought, well, that's what I did because it was easier for me. And I didn't have to go out in the rain and the wind and the snow and clear the steps with the snow before I could bring the coal up. And but as I said, I was lucky I had a bathroom, but Mr. Parker, mind, because that would seem to heat the whole house. Although we had central heating off it, the kitchen was never cool. It was always nice. If you got up in the middle of the night and the kids were bad or something, it was always warm, you know. I did have fireplaces in the other two rooms, which I used on special occasions. I never lit a fire normally after we had central heating. Then I had a gas fire put in the sitting room, and I got rid of the grate in the other room, you know. And but it was not as comfortable, but I lived up the top of a hill, and I was on my own, and that's why I came to friends down here, and that's why I came down here. My mother lived here actually for a while before she died. But everything is so convenient here.
So what was Ynys Enfawr like when you moved here? The pit was still open and everything?
The pit was open. You could go shopping. You didn't have to go to Pontypridd because you could buy anything you wanted in Ynys Enfawr. We had a shop that sold furniture, wallpaper, lino, carpet. Then there was shoes, there was outfitting for ladies and men's. And we used to have We had a couple of, we had the cooperative for groceries, and we had the Spa, or D.L. James as it was then. That was a grocery shop, and there was a few grocery shops. But now there is, you can't buy anything in Innisfil. We even lost our post office, which is so sad. And people don't like going to the cooperative now to get their pension, because there's too many people, you know, they can all hear what's going on. They can all see, because you were going to get your pension by the counter, and there's somebody behind you with a basket of groceries, and they serve you with your pension, and then they serve in the groceries, and it's not, no privacy. We used to have a bank. We had a Barclays bank here, and that was fine. And we used to have an Abbey National shop that you could go to Abbey, and you could put, get money out and do what you wanted to, but they're all gone now, and there's nothing.
So does that mean that people travel to Ponty?
Everybody, you really got to go to Ponty, yes. They have got they have got a cash point outside the cooperative, and now we used to go to the post office. You could get money out of your bank account, but now you got to, it's only the cop that you can get money out of for anything.
And what about the sort of landscape around Innisfil since the pit is gone? Has it changed a lot? Or?
Well, the pit is gone, but there's nothing done about it. We've had so many consultants giving plans, and they did have quite a bit of money, from what I understand. And somebody drew all these plans that what they were going to do up on the pit, and when they showed them to us, that there's a lot of more older people now than there was years ago, and the pit is, you've got to go down by the square, and then you've got to go up steps, and it's sort of not in the village then. It would be another little place up there. They wanted to put the library up there. They wanted to put this up there. They were going to build a sports centre up there. They were going to build a couple of factories up there. Everything. And there's nothing at all being done. Nothing at all. Somebody said there's still methane gas permeating, but I don't know if that's right. But they've done nothing. And our parks, we got, there were three children's parks, you know, swings and slides, and there's nothing now. They've taken everything away up what we call the wreck, where the football field is. You can see the one in front when you come in. There is nothing in there at all for children. There was another one at the top of High Street. That is gone. There is nothing here for kids.
So how do you, if you have to go to Ponty, how do you travel normally?
That's because we've got passes now, haven't we? So it's easier for us pensioners to go now than it was before. And especially since we've had that Blue Dragon bus up here, that is the best thing since sliced bread. Marvellous. The only trouble is that it finishes so early that you've got to go out early to come back early. But we're not complaining about that at all. But as far as anything else is, they were going to build a big new estate up where the recreation ground was. There were supposed to be hundreds and hundreds of houses being built up there. And they put all the plans out and everything else, and people, I was one that voted against it, because we haven't got the facilities in the village for a lot of extra people. As it is now, what they've done to the school is disgusting. They had, my two children went up to Old Innisfil. There was a school up there until they were seven. And then they came down to Tree Robert, which is amongst the street here. Well, they moved the old one, and they built a beautiful little school up on Beth Capel. And there was like, they had a field outside, and the kids, it was lovely for the little ones till they were seven. And they closed that last year, and they built an extension to the Robert Street school. I don't know if you ought to go and have a look at it. It's like, the school itself is like an old workhouse because it's stone. And then they built this big glass box But I'd like to know, I haven't been in there, where the children can play. Because there's nothing. They haven't got a playground, there's not a bit of green. Actually, there was a little bit of green. They put a bit of green felt down, weren't they? About 12 by 12, I think. But I think the school is just terrible now. They've extended it. But in the same amount of space, which makes everything in, you know.
And would you and other people go up to the mountainsides to play, or when you were younger, or when you...
Well, when I was a kid, yes, you'd be out all day and you'd go up the top of the mountain with a bottle of water and a sandwich, and you wouldn't come till your mother shouted that dinner was ready or something. But you can't let children do that today, not with society as it is. It's a sad thing, but you're afraid to let your kids out. You know, I suppose in our village it's not so bad because everybody knows everybody. But there again, things happen that... And these sort of people have always been about, but they've always been hiding in the corner. These days, they come out into the open, don't they?
So what about, you know, when the pits were open, presumably it was black with the tips and all that. Did that worry you?
No, they were over that side, over there. No, no. We used to have a lovely workman's hall. And my father-in-law he worked in the pit. He was a councillor, and he was also, when the pit was worked, they used to have what they called a nursing fund. And what it was, that everybody working in the pit paid a few pennies a week. It was taken out to your pay. And then if you had to go to the hospital, I had to go to attend hospital, and you had to pay your bus fare, they would give you your bus fare back. But you had to be a member of the nursing fund. It was all to do with the in Porthcawl. You know, they've got that big outside Porthcawl, big nursing home, the rest. Well, it was all, and then if the men were ill, they could go to the rest for a bit of, after they'd been, had an accident or been ill, or they'd go to Court Royal in Bournemouth, and that was another one for minors. But as far as this nursing fund go, if you had to go and take you children to the hospital, or you had to go, and they'd keep their tickets, and then once a week, because I used to do it because my husband run it then, and they'd come on a Friday night, say 6 till 7, and they'd give me the tickets and show me what where they'd been, and then I would pay them, and they would have their money back for their bus fare. And then if they wanted to go to the rest or in Porthcawl, they would have to, John, my husband John, he was on the committee there, he used to see if there was a space, the date they wanted, and they could go. But they went for nothing then, because it was all to do with the nursing fund. And a lot of people, not because they were ill, but because it was their annual their annual holiday. But yes, I did that for many, many years, because John used to work afternoon, so I had to take my two kids and pay all this money out.
And would you go to Porthcawl at other times, or, you know,
Went to the rest. Oh, no, oh God, no. Not.
But what about, were there any trips to like Porthcawl?
Well, when we were kids, it was only the Sunday school outing, but my father went to the club, and I used to have a club outing as well. I went twice a year. But most people, it was only once a year. And from Ennisabul, I understand they used to go by train.
Right, but you didn't, you went?
Well, I wasn't here then, was I?
What about when you were
in Triaris? Well, we used to have a bus, didn't we? You'd book and you'd go all the Sunday school, and we'd all have a day out, and we always ended up over in just over all the Pebbly Beach in Barry. What is it?
Oh, by the Knapp.
Cole Knapp, because there was a huge swimming pool there, and there was a lovely, like a nightclub on there, Bindles. We'd always go over there, and we'd go over and have a walk over and have a swim, and I went when I was 21. I had a little party in Bindles, actually. That was where I went for my 21st birthday.
So what about the Workman's Hall? What was that in
Edinburgh? Well, the reading room was the most popular. Well, the cinema was there, and they used to put shows on. The reading room was, and the library was in there. So that was, so many men, especially retired men, used to go in and they'd would be there morning, you know, they'd read the paper and they'd put the world to right, and they used to have lovely shows there, but a lot of shows. Cinema used to be like twice a week. Not that I ever went there much, because it was not going so much when I got older, you know, because it was when we were kids. But they should never have taken it down. No, it was, because they've done a lot of them up, and they are, they're lovely buildings. But ours went on fire, see? Because where I lived up on the top, we could see the fire, and it was all up in the roof. And then they took it all down and it disappeared. So I don't know what happened, actually.
So what do you think of the differences today now when you were growing up and when you moved to Ennisfil? What do you think the main sort of, what changes have you seen?
Well, there are a lot of changes, and a lot of changes not for the better. I tell you one thing about children these days, they don't appreciate anything. They don't. I can remember once when I was a kid, Christmas, you always waited for Christmas, and always had a surprise, and my mother wouldn't tell me what it was, and she said, you've got to wait till Christmas. And I wasn't little, must have been bigger, but I can remember that my present for Christmas was a propelling pencil with a lead set, and I was over the moon. Can you imagine something like that happening today? I mean, my grandchildren, I got four. I can't give them less than 100 quid on a Christmas now, because they can't buy nothing out of it. If it's only a pair of trainers or football boots or these electronic doodahs, it's gone. The world has gone commercialised. This is and it's a pity, because it have taken all the excitement and the expectation out of it. And it's the same with all of them now. They're all the same. I mean, I can't say anything. My kids are the same. I got a grandson now. He'd be 17 in August. And he said to me last week, I'm waiting now to get my provisional, Nan. I'm going to start to learn to drive. And I said, oh, well, you expect it now, because everybody seems to drive these days. And he's lucky. Well, he's lucky. He lost his mother when he was 8, she died. But it's only him and his father now. And so he's done all right out of life then, if you understand, being an only one. But now he said, so I don't see him that often. So I gave him £10. I said, you are, El, I said, for a driving lesson. And my son started to laugh. I said, what's the matter? And he said, you better give him another one. He said, and he'd be lucky to have a lesson at that price. When I learned to drive, £2.50, I think.
So you got a car?
Yeah, I got a car. It's only a little old one, little Nissan Micra, and I don't drive far. I only drive local or Tesco's. I'll go to Merthyr, I don't mind. But my daughter lives in Bristol, and I used to drive up to there, but I don't drive anymore. The motorways terrify me. Because I got a little car in the middle with them, in the middle lane, and I got a juggernaut by there, and I got a juggernaut by there, and I had to feel like I'm the ham in the sandwich. No, it's frightening. And the roads change, and you've got to make your mind up so quick about where you're going to go, what lane you're going in. Because it started that there's a roundabout as I'm going into Bristol, 5 lanes. And the one for where she lives is the inside lane. So I'm going like that, and I'm going like that. And I normally used to get off at the wrong one. I didn't know where the hell I was. So I've stopped it. I've catch a train now, and I'm a lot happier.
And when you were growing up, did many people have cars at all?
My grandfather did. He was rich. My grandfather used to come. He used to have one of those square black things. Ooh. He was one of the rich ones. And there weren't many. I mean, that's why children could play on the road. There was nothing there. Was there. You know, and you'd have a van occasionally for, like, bread, and things would come into the street, and the fishmonger would come, and vegetables, they would come, like, in it. But no. But my grandfather did. He had his Ford, I expect it was. Austin 7 or something, I don't know. I don't remember, it was square, very black and square. But, and he never passed his test. But during the war, they didn't have to pass a test, did they? When the war was on and they learned to drive, they could have a license. So they never actually sat a driving test. So he drove everywhere, but he never had a proficiency license. But like many others, everybody was the same during the war. If you could drive, you can go. But as I said, I didn't pass my test till 1970-odd. But I have found it very useful because my husband was ill and he was in Landoch Hospital, the Heath he was in, and I never had to ask anybody to take me. But, you know, that was one good thing about it. But I remember going to the Heath, he went in and he drove down and he said, "Now, come off Manor Way and don't forget, now you turn left, then you turn right, then you turn left again then, right, and you're going into the hospital. But don't forget, when you go home, don't forget, just turn right, left and right. Now, don't forget, or I would have ended up, I don't know where." But, yes, it's been, these days, mine is very useful. As I said, it's only a little car, but it takes me where I want to go.
Is there any questions you want to ask me?
Oh, I keep talking. I got to go and have a cup of tea now. Anything else you want to know?
Is there anything you want to tell me about?
Well, there's nothing really, is there? One thing I can say about being a kid at home, I'll always remember it. I told you we had the fire grate and there was a sink and a tap in the corner there. Well, the door to the pantry was this side. And I do remember that when they put the... My father did this thing and they had to put the cooker and put the water in there. That in there where we lived, we had this big groove. He had to take up tiles and he dug all his channel all the way across, go like that all around to take the water in. I can remember we lived like that for weeks, I think, to take the water in, because jobs like that, a lot of men used to be able to do themselves. And but I can always remember that, this big thing, we used to have to step over it and to do things. I mean, it's not like that now, is it? Just everything is so done differently. But I can remember quite a lot of that sort of thing, yeah. But there you are. There you are then.
Thank you very much indeed. That was really wonderful.
Oh, no, I,